اللهم بلغ أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات ثواب الصورة الفاتحة مع الصلوات. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين خالق السماوات والأرضين. الحمد لله الذي بعث أنبياءه بالحق والهدى ثم ختمهم بحبيبه المصطفى. الحمد لله الذي جعل إكمال دينه وإتمام نعمته بولاية المرتضى. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله رب العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله في كتابه وقوله الحق. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال الله عز وجل وهو أصدق الصادقين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر قل فيهما إثم كبير ومنافع للناس وإثمهما أكبر من نفعهما. ويسألونك ماذا ينفقون قل العفو كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تتفكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. My eldest brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our discussions have now reached a stage where we are discussing those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to avoid, which Allah wants us to stay away from. We said in the beginning that taqwa is the goal of fasting. Taqwa is our end. Taqwa is why we do the ibadah. And the Prophet, when explaining month of Ramadan to his companions, Imam Ali stood up and asked, what are the best actions? So the Prophet had already gone through certain actions. For example, fasting, praying, give charity, and those kind of things. Iftar. Whatever you can do, you should do. Then Imam Ali asks, what are the best actions? Whereupon the Prophet says, stay away from that which is haram. Stay away from that which Allah has made haram. The non-actions. And yesterday we talked about vain talk. Not to indulge into vain talk. The verse I recited now in the beginning, it might for many seem to be a problem that is not current. Many people might think that this problem is not there in our society. Yet, if you go beneath and you look at our communities, this is starting to become a real problem that we have to look at. We cannot be like ostriches putting our heads into the sand. We have to face these problems headlong. Otherwise, they will destroy our societies. The verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they ask you, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسَرِ. They ask you about the wine, the intoxicants, and the game of chance. قُلْ, tell them, O Prophet, tell them, فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ. There is a great sin in them. There is a great sin in them. وَمَنَافِعٌ. And there is some profit. There is some profit as well, but there is a great sin in them. لِلنَّاسِ, for the people. وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ. Their sin is greater. As you can see the translation on the slides as well. Their sin is greater. And they ask you what they should spend. The ayah continues. Again, connecting all these themes. We see how these themes are connected. Yesterday we saw how prayer is connected with giving, and giving is connected with not being a slanderer and a backbiter. He says, and they ask you, of what should we give? Say, of that which is extra. That is the minimum that we should be giving. Of that which is extra. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, first, when he lived in Mecca, he did not drink. However, Mecca was a society where people used to drink. Mecca was a society where people used to drink. And you can imagine this, how the Prophet was seen as an outsider. Because he and only him and a few others were not amongst those who used to drink. Normally people would drink wine or other types of alcoholic beverages that they had during that time. Yet the Prophet never succumbed. And other people like him, like Imam Ali, these people never succumbed and they stayed away. Yet Islam did not forbid drinking until the Prophet's time in Medina. When the Prophet was in Medina, this verse came down to the Prophet. That they ask you about the wine and the game of chance. Say, there is a big sin in it. Yet this word, itham, the companions did not understand it that it is haram. Just that there is something disadvantageous in it. There is a disadvantage. So some of the companions still used to drink. In one of their drinking parties, because they still had some traces from the Jahiliyyah. In one of their drinking parties, they stood up to recite prayers when they were drunk. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they started to recite the surahs wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed another ayah. لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. Do not approach prayer while you are intoxicated. Do not approach prayers while you are intoxicated, and till that you know what you are saying. So you see the stages here. First, Allah discourages drinking. Then He says, stay away from prayer. Then some of them still keep on drinking. Some of them still keep on drinking. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes a point when He reveals two ayats of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسَرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. That drinking wine, intoxicants, and games of chance, and sacrificing to stones, and dividing by arrows. They used to divide, there was a habit they used to have, to divide things or cast lot. To tell fortune and things like that by dividing arrows, are only uncleanness, work of shaitan. Recently there was, we don't need to mention his name, but there was a mufassir or a alim who for some reason accused Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is like a salawat. He said that Imam Ali had been drinking and he actually recited Quran wrongly when he had drunk. Na'udhu billah. It is as this person never read the Quran. He is supposed to be a great alim. Some of you know who he is. As I said, we don't need to mention his name. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is a ritsu min amali shaitan. On the other hand, Imam Ali is included in innama yuridu Allah liyudhhiba ankum ar-ritsa. أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. The irada of Allah, as we know, is absolute. قال له كن فيكون. Whenever he wants something, he just says to it, be it is, and it is. How can this person say that Imam Ali, نعوذ بالله, would drink? When drinking is رجس من عمل الشيطان, when Allah has promised that أهل البيت are far removed from رجس. It cannot be. So the ayah continues. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمَ الْعَدَاوَ وَالْبَغْضَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسَرِ. Shaitan only wishes to cause enmity and hatred amongst you by using intoxicants and game of chance. And keep you off. وَيَصُدُّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. And keep you off from remembering Allah and from praying. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ Muntahun. So will you then desist him? Game of chance. Okay, I'll explain that. Ahsant. Game of chance, basically lottery. Lottery or anything that you play, there is a bet of money or of property or something, and you stand a chance to lose what you have put in.
Gambling,
yes. So game of chances, gambling. Now there used to be different types of game of chance, but gambling. Your haram, gambling is haram. The Prophet says that one who is careless of salat will be deprived of my intercession. We already know this, we did this, we discussed this. But then he says, and by Allah, my intercession will not reach the one who consumes intoxicants. The one who consumes intoxicants, it will not reach him, and he will not be able to reach me at the pool of Kawthar. Now we live in a society, again I say this, I know many of you are raising your eyebrows because why do we need to discuss alcohol? None of us drinks or none of us do drugs. Inshallah, we hope so. We say Alhamdulillah. But the society we live in is a society that is promoting these kind of things. If you look at the other religions which are prevalent in the society we live, in Judaism, we discussed yesterday, for example, that Nabi Nuh is accused in the Bible of drinking alcohol and becoming a drunkard and showing himself naked while he is drunk. They also accuse Nabi Lut, the nephew of Nabi Ibrahim. They accuse him of getting drunk and, na'udhu billah, having a relationship with his daughters. And they try to beget children by him. So you see that this is the way they brainwash people. By putting these kind of things, that if the prophets did this, then you can do it as well. Or if you look at Christianity, the first miracle of Christ, mind you, I stand till this day, I haven't got a reply from any Christian. There is no worse, because the Christians always say that you have to drink in the communion, they drink wine. There is nowhere in the Bible, in the Gospels, clearly stating that Jesus Christ drank wine. Yes, they say that he had a goblet and he drank something, but it doesn't say what it contained. So there is no evidence for them to say that Isa drank. However, there is a problem. There is a problem. The first miracle in the Gospel, in the Gospels, is in the Gospel of John, that Isa is asked by his mother. Nabi Isa is asked by his mother, na'udhu billah, to produce wine. She comes to him and says that they are in a wedding party. She comes and says, the wine has finished. Can you do something? The reply he gives, he says, woman. Imagine a prophet of Allah talking to his mother. This is how you know when something comes from God and something does not come from God. Woman, what do you have to do with me? Woman, what do you have to do with me? My time has yet not come. Imagine you're talking to your mother like that. Woman, na'udhu billah. First miracle. Then what does he do? He asks for big crates of water. When the water comes, he puts his hands, na'udhu billah, and it makes it into wine. Shaykh Ahmed Didat, may God bless his soul, used to say that since that day, wine has been flowing like water in Christianity, in the world of Christendom. But this is their idea. Now you look at the Quran. The first miracle of Nabi Isa is while he is still a newborn child. He says, Allah has made me his prophet and given me Injil and made me kind to my mother. This is how you know when something comes from Allah and when something comes from Shaitan. So the society we live in, the religious books have encouraged them to drink. The religious books want them to drink and become intoxicated. Although they say, no, don't be intoxicated. But there is a proposal in the book, drink. It is good to drink. It is to be thankful to drinking. If you go to the gatherings of the Jews, for them drinking is something, a blessing they thank Allah for. If you go to the gatherings of the Christians, they drink in their communion every Sunday or some even every day of the week. What are the problems of drinking? If you look at, there are medical issues. They will tell you today that drinking a glass of wine is healthy. They will tell you today to drink a glass of wine every day is healthy. Let's look at this. The same effects you will get from drinking that glass of wine every day, you will get from eating an apple. Eating an apple will give you the very same effects that you will get from drinking that glass of wine. Why do they not keep on coming out in the news saying, eat an apple? Why do they insist on drinking wine? Allah says, there are some benefits, but the disadvantages are greater. The disadvantages are greater. Let's go back to Bahlul. Let's liven up the atmosphere here. It is reported once that Bahlul came to Harun Rashid while Harun Rashid was drinking. Harun Rashid is asking Bahlul that, oh Bahlul, tell me something. If I eat grapes, just taking some grapes, eating grapes, is that dangerous? So Bahlul says no. So then he says, Bahlul, if I drink some water above it, is that dangerous? Is that something bad? He says, no, there's nothing bad in that. He says, then if I sit in the sun, in the heat, is that bad? He says, no, that is not bad. So he says, then why is drinking wine haram? Because wine, you crush the grapes and you put water and then you put it in the sun and it ferments. So why, if I do it in this order, it's not dangerous, but in that order it is. So Bahlul says, if I take some sand and throw it on your head, will it hurt? No. Putting sand on the head doesn't hurt, unless you're very sensitive. He says, if I take some water then and pour it on your head, will it hurt? No, it won't hurt. Says, if I then put you outside in the sun, will it hurt? It won't hurt. Now if I take the same sand and put water in it and put it out in the sun until it gets hard and then throw it on your head, will it hurt? Yes, it will hurt. Salawat. The damages of intoxicants to the liver. If you drink every day, the French people, for example, will drink every day. They have wine, they drink wine to lunch and dinner. This is their habit. That destroys the liver slowly. Other people will drink once or twice a week heavily. That destroys the brain. So whatever you do, however you go, you're going to lose out. It actually destroys the brain. It kills your brain cells. There was a joke, someone says, I drink to forget. So someone asked me, what do you want to forget? I don't know, I've already forgotten. So this is pregnancy. Women who are pregnant, when they drink, there is a real problem. Because there is an issue, there is a problem with those fetuses becoming disformed. So as well with cigarettes. When you do other kind of drugs, for example, heroin. Marijuana, thank you. And this and that, mashallah. Recite a salawat. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Cannabis, there are so many different kinds of drugs. Amphetamine, LSD, what you have and what you don't have. See, I know them as well. I did my research, that's why. These kind of drugs, which are very common. You see, what happens in our societies, our children, they have actually made investigations. Children from the young age of 12 are exposed to these kind of things. They are drinking heavily, binge drinking. Children from the age of 12 are being introduced to drugs of different types, which then will give them cancer, which then will destroy their brains, which then makes them not able to do their studies. So again, all these problems are there, and we need to keep this in mind, because we need to teach our children at this time. Do not think that we are secure. I know when I used to be a young, in the age of these boys, and even older, up to 20 years old, the group I was hanging out in, many of them did a lot of stupid things. But one thing I never heard or saw any one of them doing was intoxicants. It was a total taboo in that age group. But I look at those younger than me now, and I see them with my own eyes drinking and doing drugs. Somewhere we have gone wrong. Somewhere we have gone wrong. You go to Texas, believe me, by God, I was surprised. The pharmacy is selling liquor. The pharmacy, which is supposed to give you health, or promote your health, is selling liquor and cigarettes. This is the status in Houston. So you understand there is a problem. They are always promoting these kind of things. They always want you to. May Allah save us from Texas. I mean, if that is the case here. Another problem is that they need more and more every time to get that same effect. And I hope the young kids are paying attention, because now it might feel that these problems are not real, but very soon, especially when you reach high school and when you reach college, these problems are there. You will feel like a social outcast if you don't drink. But remember the Prophet, he was a social outcast as well at that time. Yet his akhlaq was the best of akhlaq. Yet his personality was the best of the personalities. He did not yield for that kind of pressure. Please recite a salawat. Sheikh Marhum Ahmed Didat used to say that if alcoholism is a disease, it is the only disease sold on bottle. It will not become a disease until you start using it. If you are not using it, you cannot say, I have the disease. But it is only when you yourself try it, because it's cool to try perhaps. It's not cool. But they will tell you it's cool. You're a loser. You're not fitting into the society if you don't do this. But it is not cool. You see, there are social issues. When you drink or when you use intoxicants, you lose your faculty of reason. You lose your faculty of reason. For example, men will feel more powerful. They won't care what is going on around them. Women will feel less powerful. These are articles, medical articles will show you this, which results in rape. The reports say that over 50% of rape victims and over 50% of those who commit rape were intoxicated. So you can see there is a real issue. Now the society we live in are not ready to deal with these kind of problems, but the issues are there and has to be solved. So what is the attitude to intoxicants in our society? If you look at our society, at non-Muslim societies, you know, in America during from 1920 to 1933, there was a prohibition on alcohol. Yet it failed. The prohibition on alcohol failed. They tried it for 13 years, it failed because there was nothing else. Why is it that when the Prophet said, no more alcohol, no more wine, the Muslims at large, of course not everyone, but the Muslims at large were able to stop drinking? But till this day, the Americans or the West have not been able to stop the people from drinking. Because there is a ilahi power, there is a divine power that has been helping us. And this is something else we need. Because the Christian groups in America tried this. Christian groups even in Sweden have tried this, to ban alcohol. It did not work. Yet in the Muslim society, it worked. But what has happened, and other intoxicants, just to tell you briefly, are becoming more and more common in other countries. For example, in the Netherlands, if you do cannabis, it's okay. Some other drugs are becoming okay in the UK as well. They won't charge you. It's not a crime. You're violating something, but it's not a crime. It's not punishable by something. They are allowing these kind of things. And really, if you know Malcolm X, probably most of you knows, he has a famous statement. He says that drink is the pacifier of the government, which they are giving you. It's the pacifier of the government. You know how when you give small children pacifiers, when they start crying? This is to make people not think. This is to stop people from thinking and reacting. You see, Muslims, as I said, Muslims in the West society are now starting to accepting that drugs is something good and alcohol is something good or acceptable, and they are starting to use it as well, which we need to stop. And another thing, how it is spreading. Non-Muslims, what they will do is they will actually tell their children by the age of 10, 11, 12. And this is how your children will get influenced. You wonder, how does this come to my children? And they tell their children that I want you to become a responsible drinker. So by the age of 11, 12, they will start giving them some liquor at home during the weekends, just to train them. And then when they drink liquor at home, when they go to the friends' parties, they will start drinking there as well. And then when they invite our children, they'll tell them, hey, you don't drink? Your dad doesn't allow you to drink? Your dad is not cool? This is the way they will attack them. You need to be careful about everything. This is how they will approach you. And we can look in our own Muslim societies. In our own Muslim societies, it used to be taboo to drink. You were not supposed to drink. But slowly this idea has been changing in the Muslim societies as well. You know, in many countries, especially during Ramadan, they make special series, television series. So that instead of, after the whole day of fasting, when you should be doing your ibadah, when you should be doing your dua and this and salah and nawafil, they turn on the television. Special series in the language of the Muslims. In the languages of them. Special series, 30-day series, and they call this you have the soap operas, right? They have special soap operas for Ramadan. Special soap operas, so that people should concentrate on these while eating the iftar. In many of these series, what you will see in the modern society now, what they are doing is, slowly they are introducing alcohol into these series. Already it has been proven that these kind of ideas that are spread through this series are causing problems in Muslim families and societies. There are some series that certain maraji has said these are haram, because certain people get certain ideas on how life should be. This man does this for his wife in the series, or this woman does this for her husband in this series, or these people who are not married do this for each other, and people start getting these ideas, this is how life should be. And now they have taken it to the next level, introducing alcohol and drugs into this series. People are seeing that these people who are the heroes, just like Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger and who else, Brad Pitt and George Clooney, all these people are the heroes. They have their own heroes over there, and they see these people indulging in these activities. So the attitude in Muslim societies are changing. The attitude in Muslim societies are changing, and that's why we need to be. I know this one, this lecture has been a bit more dry, and we don't feel this to be an immediate problem. But we really need to be on our watch, because this problem is becoming an imminent problem. You ask your children. I tell the parents, you ask your children, what do they tell you at school? When your children go to college, what are they being introduced to? What are their friends doing? Ask them, communicate. Don't go home and say, hey, what are you doing at school? No, ask them, listen, what happened at school? What are they saying about drugs? Okay, listen, you know what Islam says? You know what the medical disadvantages are? You know what the problems are? You know what kind of life people have once their brains get damaged? You know what kind of life people have when their wives are getting abused? You know what kind of life people have when they go out and kill people because they are drunk? We need to address these kind of issues. So inshallah, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. يا مقلب القلوب حق فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها. Oh Allah, those issues that we are facing, oh Allah, help us in those issues. Oh Allah, those that has not come in front of us, save us from them. Oh Allah, any troubles, any problems we have, you are Arhamur Rahimin, help us. Oh Allah, forgive us during these holy days. Oh Allah, whatever we have to give, accept that from us. Whatever we cannot offer in a way of ibadah, then forgive us for that. Forgive us for our shortcomings. We try. Oh Allah, we try, but we slip. Oh Allah, we try to avoid the sins, but it is difficult. We pray to you that you guide us, that you give us the tawfiq of taqwa. Oh Allah, hasten the reappearance of the imam and join us with his closest companions. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu ala al-mursaleen wa ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.